All right, good afternoon. Turn to Exodus 20. Let's pray. Kind Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of all truth and that your Son is the truth and that your Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Lord, we long to be truth tellers. Lord, we confess that we by nature are liars. And Lord, I pray that in tenderness you would convict us. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be crushed and driven to the truth. I pray, dear Lord, for this session, especially as people tend to be sleepy or tired after lunch. And so, Lord, we need your grace in order to make it through this session. Help me, dear Lord, to communicate truth in a way that will be, Lord, really useful to the men. And Lord, I pray that as we listen to the word today, that we would be worshiping and delighting in the fact that our beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ, is true. Lord, we want above all other things to see Christ. And so enable us to do that by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20 and verse 16, we read these words: "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, this is the ninth of the Ten Commandments, the ninth of the Ten Commandments. Originally, this was given to the children of Israel from God as part of their national legislation. The commandment, it had as its initial application, the court of law. Many people think that one of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not lie. That is not true. That is not one of the Ten Commandments. It says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What it literally means is when you go to court as a witness, don't say anything that isn't true. Tell the truth about your neighbor who is on trial. In a society, it functions well where there is truth in the courtroom. And when in society there is a perversion of justice in the courtroom, things do not go well for that country. Witnesses lie and the guilty go free. Witnesses lie and the innocent are punished. And so overall, what this commandment is saying in its original context is that as a culture will function well when people tell the truth in the courtroom. And so for this reason, we have stiff penalties for perjury in order to safeguard against having some sort of injustice that happens in the courtroom. Any good courtroom that's worth its salt will have as part of the drama, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and the person gets up on the stand, and when they're there, it's assumed that they're going to be under pressure to tell the truth. And I think that that is a good thing. It is a very good thing for the criminal justice system. I think we can all agree that telling the truth in a courtroom is a good idea for society as a whole. Unless you are an anarchist, you believe that people should be honest in the courtroom. That's the original intent of the Ninth Commandment. But as we read on in Scripture, God makes it clear that he wants us to be truthful outside of the courtroom as well. Leviticus 19, verses 11 and 12. "You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord." So why should we be telling the truth? It is because of who God is. We as his people, we as image bearers of God should be truth tellers. You move to the New Testament, and the same message is there. Ephesians 4:25. "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." And so I'm going to ask you a question, but it is not a rhetorical question. This is a sincere question that I want you to honestly answer within the quietness of your own heart. And that is this: do you believe that you should be truthful with one another, both in and out of the courtroom. Do you believe it is right for you to be a truth teller, both in and out of a courtroom? Again, not a rhetorical question, and I don't want you to really answer that question at this point. Before you answer that question, I would like to give you three things to consider. Here's the first one. Everybody is a liar. Everybody is a liar. Psalm 116, verse 11, I said in my alarm, or I said in my haste, all men are liars. Spurgeon, in his commentary on this, said, the psalmist said this in his haste, but if he had sat around and he had thought about it, he would have come to the same conclusion. All men are liars. All men are liars. Now, before you get all defensive on me, let me define what I mean by that. I'm not necessarily saying that you, in practice, are an habitual, unrepentant liar, although you might be. And I'm not saying that you do not strive to tell the truth. Maybe you do strive to tell the truth. What I am saying is that by nature, all of us have a gravitational pull and a propensity toward telling lies. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They come forth as soon as they are born speaking lies. When we brought our little son Charlie home from the hospital, he was just a couple of days old. We brought him home in a little car carrier, and we sat him on the floor, and I left the room for a few moments, and his brother Parker, who was less than 2 years older than him, was left alone with the baby in the room, and I came back in, and about this high off of the wall, there were crayon marks on the wall. And I came back in, and I looked at Parker, who's two, and I looked at the baby, and I said, what happened? Who did this? And Parker, looking at me, listening to the tone of my voice, looking at the expression on my face, looking at the wall, pointed to Charlie and said, Charlie did it. Now, where did he, at 2 years of age, learn how to lie like that? From his mother. It is a natural thing for us to lie. What I'm saying when I say everyone is a liar, I'm saying the natural thing for all of us to do, whether you are saved or whether you are lost, it is very unnatural when an inconvenient truth comes your way to be thinking right away about telling the truth. To varying degrees and with varying amounts of frequency, sinful human beings, all of us, are given to lies. Everyone is a liar. Romans 3, 4, let God be true, though everyone were a liar. Why are all of us liars? Well, that's because that's who we are by nature. Jeremiah 17, 9. It's an oft-quoted verse, but if you take it apart, it basically gives you the reason why we are liars. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick or desperately wicked, and who can understand it? In other words, what the verse is teaching is that there is nothing more deceitful than the human heart. And it is so cunning and so deceitful that we don't even know ourselves. In other words, you can lie so skillfully that you don't even know sometimes that you are doing it. And lies come very, very quickly. And if you think about it, and if you are honest with me today, you are confronted with an inconvenient truth, something that you have done wrong, something that you have forgotten, something that you were mistaken on. Whatever, you are confronted with an inconvenient truth, and this truth is going to cost you either time or money or extra work or reputation or recreation. And before the person even finishes confronting you on it, and even if the confrontation is a friendly confrontation, and whether you lie with your lips or not, even as the person is formulating the question, what is being formulated in your mind is, I am going to respond in this way, and you know that the way that you are preparing to respond, whether those words actually make it out of your mouth or not, the way you're preparing to respond is with something which is not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, Sometimes it's a flat-out lie, and sometimes it's a diversion, and sometimes it's a fabrication, and sometimes it's just a shading of the events in such a way that you're not actually saying what's true. It happens in your mind before the person even finishes speaking. Several months ago, we had a youth that came into, I'm so sorry, am I getting feedback again here, or am I imagining it? It just seems to be bouncing around up here. It was corrected in the first service, but I keep hearing myself twice, and I don't know why. Maybe it's my ears. We had a situation in an elders meeting not long ago where a young man came in. Again, young people, they are such bad criminals. This guy had brought a bag of pot to youth group, and he decided to show it to the girls in the youth group, thinking that that was the cool thing to do. And of course, as all good girls would do, saved or unsaved, they turned him in. And eventually the word gets back to the elders, and he comes and he's in an elders meeting with us. And we said to him, so you brought this to youth group, and your claim is that on this particular Friday, you met some friends at the park, and while you were with them at the park, you smoked this. Is this the first time that you ever did this? One of the other elders asked him that, and he said, yes, that's the first time I ever smoked pot. And so the elders are all asking questions, and they're coming around, and it's my turn to ask questions. And I said, can I just re-ask that question? Now, I want you to think before you answer, because you were asked the question, and very quickly you came back with an answer. Was that the first time that you had ever smoked pot? You said it was. I just want to give you an opportunity to answer that question again. Think about it and tell us the truth. But I don't want you to say anything for the next 30 seconds. I just want you to think. And after 30 seconds, I said, all right, was that the first time you ever smoked pot? He said, no, I've been doing it for months. Again, he probably even to this day is not saved, but I can relate to what he did. He was asked a question very quickly. He knew he would be in trouble, and so what he did is he fabricated something that wasn't the truth. But then given an opportunity and challenged on it, he came back with what was the truth. My point is that lies come often. And they come convincingly, and they come believable, and they come without conviction. And even if you think about the fact that you have just misrepresented the truth to someone, and you usually don't think about it, but let's just say you tell the lie, and then you think, wow, that just wasn't the truth. What you have to do at this point is you now have to tell yourself another lie as to why you do not have to go back and correct that first lie. And it just goes on and on. And here's the ironic feature. We become so defensive and angry and theatrical when someone challenges our truthfulness and our statement. Excuse me? Wait, did you hear that? Are you calling me a liar? You're saying that I'm a liar? Who do you think you are accusing me of lying? Well, if, let's just say for the sake of argument, in this particular case, you are not lying, okay, you probably are, but let's just say that you are not, why are you so defensive when someone suggests that you might not be telling the truth when you yourself know that you are given to lies? Don't get dramatic and rant when someone says that you are a liar, because you know that you are given to lies. Scripture says that you are. You know that you are. And here's the thing. You're not unique. Abraham, speaking to his wife, tell everybody that you're my sister. He does that twice. And then you have Sarah. Sarah, I heard you laughing. No, I wasn't laughing. Isaac. He did the same thing that his father did. And Rebecca, hey, I'm going to go kill an animal, put it on your arms, and we're going to tell your dad that you're actually Esau. And then you have Laban. Hey, if you just work for these 7 years, I'll give you the pretty girl. Instead, look what he gets. You have Jacob. Jacob, who does a deception in running away from his father-in-law. You have Rachel, who is sitting on the household idol on the camel saying, I'm on my period. I can't get down and greet you as I should. You have Joseph's brothers who say, an animal ripped him apart and your son is dead and here's his coat. And that's just in the book of Genesis. And those are the good guys, okay? We are all manipulators and liars. And it doesn't change throughout the rest of the Bible. And the reason it doesn't change throughout the rest of the Bible and the reason it doesn't change to this day is because everybody is a liar. And lying takes on many forms. Now, before I go on, let me be really clear. I am not saying necessarily that you are an habitual, unrepentant liar. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is when we as sinful human beings are confronted with inconvenient truth, the first thing that comes into our mind from our heart is not the truth, but a lie. Sometimes we speak the truth. As Christians, hopefully we do speak the truth, but that doesn't mean that in our wicked hearts, what we want to do is lie, and it doesn't mean, even as saved people, that sometimes we do lie. Lying is what we do. It's who we are as sons of Adam, and lying takes on different forms. There is the bald-faced lie. When you are given a direct question, you can look the person right in the eye and you can say, no, I didn't do it, when in fact you did. That's the most common form of lying. There's the little white lie. These are lies that are told by people without suntans. Like, what's the difference between a white lie and a black lie? I don't know. They're all the same. There's the exaggeration for the sake of making ourselves look good. There's resume lying. There was a guy back in 2001 named George O'Leary who was hired at Notre Dame to be their head coach. On his resume, he stated that he was a 3-year letterman at the University of New Hampshire. They went back to the University of New Hampshire and they interviewed the players who were on that team and they said, what do you remember about George O'Leary? And there wasn't a single one who ever remembered him ever being on the team because he never was on the team. He just lied on his resume. And when Notre Dame fired him immediately, his brother stood up for him and said, well, his willingness to lie on the resume is an indicator of how competitive he is and why he should have the job. There's lying to protect people. You know what I mean by that? I mean, how many people have said, no, I'm not going to tell my wife that I actually have been on the internet and have been in pornography, because if she ever finds out, it's really going to hurt her. And so it's best that she doesn't know about it. So in order to protect her, I'm going to lie about that. And then there's the deception where you are sort of technically telling the truth. Have you been talking to that person? No, I haven't been talking to them. Well, no, you haven't been talking to them, but you've been exchanging emails or you've been texting. There's leaving the person with the impression that something is true when in fact it is not. When it comes back later and it's questioned and you say, wait a minute, you told me, and they'll say, no, I didn't tell you that. What I said, if you were listening, was, but you left me with that impression. Well, you just weren't listening close enough. There are omissions and fabrications. There is flattery. There are forgeries. There are fibs. Anything that starts with, we'll just tell him, usually follows a lie. There's calling in sick when you are not sick. And then there's the technicality. Knew of a person once that told their parents they were going to be going to the mall. And so what they did is they drove to the mall. Can't make this stuff up. They walked into the mall and walked out of the mall just that quickly, got in their car, went somewhere where they shouldn't have been. When they got home that night, their parents said, where were you tonight? And they said, I was at the mall. Technicality. There's covering for a friend. There's confessing to a lesser crime in order to divert attention from a larger sin. There's all kinds of lies, and we could be here all day talking about the many different ways that we don't tell the truth. But maybe one of the grossest forms of lying is to bring God into your lie, is to look at a person and say, I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth. Or I swear on anything that I am telling you the truth. Or there's bringing God into the lie by lying with your lips and then praying simultaneously, silently saying, oh God, I know I'm lying right now, please forgive me. Going ahead with the lie, but asking God at the same time to forgive. Why do we do this? Well, unfortunately, I've done quite a bit of research on this subject, and I think it all boils down to pride. I think it all boils down to self-love. We are so madly in love with ourselves that we must protect ourselves, and we want to look good, and we want to guard our reputations, and we want to maintain all of the comforts in our lives. And so, when the truth is uncomfortable, we have to attack the truth, and the only weapon that we have is a lie. And we use it without thinking twice, out of pride in order to protect ourselves. So last Saturday morning, I did a talk at one of our church plants on the subject of pornography. After that talk, on that day, the pastor told me, I would say that the talk ended about 10:30 in the morning, and the pastor told me that he was meeting with men in his church until 10 o'clock that night. That one man after another just came up to him and had to talk to him about the subject. A few of the men afterward talked to me. One young man in particular, and I've known him his whole life, he came up to me and he said, my wife asked me some time ago, she said, have you looked at pornography? Have you committed this sin? And he said, I didn't even think twice about it. I just told her no. And she said, good, because if you ever did, I don't know if I could take it. And so, for many years, he lived in darkness, afraid of what his wife would do, thinking that the lie was better than the truth. Last Saturday morning, after our talk, he said, I have to go home, and I have to talk to my wife this afternoon, and I have to tell her about it. I've given you a sampling of different ways that we lie. Point number one is everyone is a liar. Point number two, everybody is a liar, and that's not okay. It's not all right. Somehow we think that just because it is so common, therefore it is acceptable. Sometimes we think just because nobody really gets hurt, therefore it is acceptable. Sometimes we think because it comes to us so natural, therefore it must be acceptable. No, the point is all men are liars and it is not okay. First of all, I want to tell you it's not okay in the realm of human experience. Let's just forget for a second that there is such a thing as a God. When someone lies to you, you know how you feel about it. You know how you feel deceived. You know how you feel that you are used. You know how you feel manipulated, and it's not okay with you. Now, arguing from the lesser to the greater, if it's not okay with you and you are a liar yourself and someone lies to you and you are bothered by it, how much more a holy God who is the God of all truth, the God who cannot lie? God cannot stand a lie. Lying brings about other sins. It's not acceptable in the human realm because anytime there is adultery, there has to be lying which accompanies it. When there is stealing, there has to be lying that accompanies it. these things all run in circles. And so lying is needed in order to commit other sins. And it does hurt when we are lied to, and it should hurt when we are lied to, but that's not the point. The point is that the Lord is the one who is primarily offended because, Titus 1:2, he is the God who cannot lie, the God who never lies, and his word is truth, John 17:17. And he is holy, and he is incapable of tolerating a lie. And you say, well, no, he understands, he knows our frame, that we are dust. That's not what that verse means at all. He is compassionate, he is merciful, but he does not take this lightly. Listen to this quote from Philip Ryken. Honesty really is the best policy, not simply because it helps us get along with other people, but because our interpersonal communication ought to be grounded in the character of God. End quote, and well said. Our primary motivation for the truth is not, well, if I get caught, I'm going to really be in trouble, therefore I should tell a lie. Or if I'm running a business and I get a reputation as a liar, then what's going to happen is I'm going to lose business over the long haul. Those things might be true, but that is not the reason why you should tell the truth. It's primarily rooted in who God is as our Father, his holiness, him being a God of truthfulness, and he values truth above all else. Truth and honesty and integrity are precious to him. And when we, as his image bearers, and more than just being his image bearers, but as his blood-bought children, are reflecting who he is, and we are liars, that does not shine well on his glory. And all liars will be punished. I know you know these verses, but I would draw your attention to them. Psalm chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. If it is the pattern of your life to lie, and you are good at it, I'm talking about you guys who could actually beat a polygraph test. You're good at it. Whether it means that you've been cheating on your spouse, or whether it means you have been fudging the books at work, or whether it means you have been engaged in internet pornography, or whether it means that you just have not communicated the truth to others one way or another, and you're really good at it. You are undetected. You are deceptive, and you are crafty in your deception. Here is the worst thing that you have going for you. It's that you're good at it, and you haven't been caught, and you're probably not going to get caught. You're very slippery. First of all, this is bad because there is a hardening of your conscience. Now, even as an unsaved child, when I would tell a lie, it would bother my conscience. It's not because I'm a good guy. It's because I am an image bearer of God. You're not an animal. You are an image bearer of God. Even if you are unconverted, you know that there's a difference between truth and a lie. And when you lie, if it bothers your conscience, that is a very precious thing. But I also know this, that as I tell a lie, and I do not correct that lie, and I do not repent of that lie. And by the way, repenting of that lie does not mean that you tell God that you lied. If you told that lie to another person, repenting of that lie means that you go to that person and you tell them that you have lied. If you do not repent of that lie, what happens is, and you've always heard the old adage, well, if you tell one lie, then you have to tell another lie to cover up your first lie. And that's probably true, but even if it isn't true, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the fact that if you tell one lie and you sit on it and you allow it to rest without acting upon it, the next time you lie, it is going to be easier for you to lie because there's going to be a hardening upon your conscience, just like your hands develop calluses over time, your heart develops calluses over time, and just like the young man that I was talking about whose wife told him, I'm really glad you haven't looked at pornography because if you did, I don't know if I would be able to handle it. He just continued to tell himself lie after lie after lie after lie and told his wife lie after lie after lie after lie and became hardened. And so when you're good at it and you don't get caught and your heart becomes hard and you can do it and put your head down on your pillow and think nothing of it, you are like the leper that has no nerve endings in their hand and can reach into the fire and pull something out, and it doesn't hurt you at all, but yet your flesh is being burned and you don't even know it. But more than that, more than just the hardening of your conscience, you are one day going to stand before an omniscient God. And all the facts will be naked and open before the one to whom we must give an account. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And God, who is the God of all truth, and God, who is the God who hates lies and hates liars, is going to deal with you at that time. I knew a man once who was the most masterful liar that I think I've ever come across in my life. He was a pastor from India. He came to our church and he gave a testimony of his salvation. He talked about the fact that one day there was a tent revival and that he himself, as a militant Hindu, was on his way to this tent revival to stone the pastor and to beat the congregants with sticks. But as he was approaching the tent, he heard the preacher say, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And he was converted and he was saved. And he began to plant churches. And his father kicked him out of his house because he had gone from Hinduism to Christianity and he was living on the streets. But then he met his wife and then he went to Bible college, and then he started to plant churches, and he planted hundreds of churches. These were wonderful stories. And we sent multiple mission teams to India to assist him. One day he was in New York giving this story, this testimony, and there was an Indian man sitting in the congregation who said, "I know this guy, and I know his father. His dad wasn't a Hindu. His dad was a Christian." And we confronted him on it. And he said, "Well," and he laughed. He goes, "Yeah, I made the whole story up." He said, "But I was told before I came to America that if you want to raise money, you have to have a really good story. And so I thought, for the glory of God and the gospel, I need to make some stories up." And he made up some really good stories. He should write a book on these stories. They were wonderful. It made for really good fiction. But the point is, he was told, "I need to lie in order to raise the money for the gospel." None of it was true. It was all a lie. And here's the problem with this. God's word tells us that this man is in trouble. And God's word tells us that you are in trouble if you continue in this. And so I ask the question, remember I asked the question at the beginning, do you think it is acceptable to lie, tell the truth both in and out of court? I want to ask, do you really believe that the word of God can be trusted? If it can, then I want to read you a couple of verses from Revelation. First of all, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21:8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. One chapter later, the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. Outside, that is outside the kingdom, are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So if you look at it logically, the only hope that you have, and let's just say for the sake of argument that you are an habitual liar, there are some lies which you have told, which you have not corrected, you continue to live a life of lies, and you think that you're on your way to heaven. You very well might be on your way to heaven, but I want to tell you the only way that you are actually going to get to heaven is if Jesus Christ himself is a liar. If he was just bluffing here, if he was not telling the truth, then you might make it to heaven. But if the Lord is telling the truth, and you are one who lives and practices a lie and loves a lie and lies without correcting it, if the Bible is true, you are not saved. And I don't care how many tears you have cried. I don't care what baptismal you've gotten into. I don't care which elders have affirmed you. I don't care what your Sunday school teacher or your mother or your pastor has told you. I don't care how warm you felt when you quote-unquote got saved. I don't care how long you walked in service to the Lord. The fact of the matter is God is a God of truth. He loves the truth. And if you are a liar, you are going to go to hell if Jesus is telling the truth. If Jesus was just kidding, if Jesus was lying, you might have a shot. You might have a shot. I believe Jesus was telling the truth. Point number one, everybody's a liar. Point number two, everybody's a liar, and that's not okay. Point number three, everybody's a liar except for Jesus. He's born of a virgin. He is the eternal Son of God. Listen to these words about Jesus. He did not lie. Isaiah 53, 9, there was no deceit found in his mouth. He stood for the truth. John 18, 37, he says to Pilate, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. Why did you come, Jesus? To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ, John 1:17. Matthew 22:16. Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. John 14:6. I am the truth. And that is why God can say of his Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, because his Son is a truth teller and his Son is the truth and his Son loves the truth and his Son promotes the truth and he is the light. Jesus is truth personified. And not only did he not lie, but here's even a more beautiful feature, and that is that he always spoke the truth. God is pleased with him. You say, so what? How in the world am I helped by the fact that Jesus told the truth when you've spent a long time telling me today that I'm a liar? The reason why is because the gospel is of first importance. It is through the doctrine of substitution that your sins can be forgiven. Jesus becomes your truth, and your lies were placed upon him. He took our lies and our deception, and he made them his very own. He died for our lives. He paid for our lives with his blood upon the cross, and he rose again. Well, let's just say for the sake of argument, I am really convincing you right now that lying is wrong and that you leave this place today and you never tell another lie for the rest of your life. That's not going to happen, but let's just say for the sake of argument that that is what happens. If that happens, you will still go straight to hell. Because it's not your lack of lying that's going to get you into the kingdom of God. You need a perfect righteousness. And you're not going to get that perfect righteousness by repenting of your lies. You need a record that is perfect before God, and you cannot get it through your own righteousness. It has to be an alien righteousness which is given to you by Christ. You need a perfect record, a perfect truthful record, and it is offered to you one way and one way only, and that is in the gospel, for free. And you don't have to do anything to obtain it except to believe in Jesus Christ. He gets your lies, you get his righteousness. It is a swap. It is substitution. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. It is the just for the unjust. Now, that doesn't mean that since Jesus died for my sins and he died for my lies that I can continue to lie. We shall not continue in sin that grace may abound, God forbid. But what it does mean is that all of the lies that you have ever told are paid for and erased by the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood. And before God, you stand before God as one who has never lied because you are dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And the only way to get rid of the penalty for your lying is to cast yourself upon the mercy of God based upon what Jesus did for you at the cross. Oh, Jesus, please forgive me. Oh, God, I am a man of unclean lips. Jesus, please have mercy upon me. Assuming that you are indeed saved, assuming that you have accepted the righteousness of Jesus Christ and that has been imputed to you, assuming that the sins that you've committed, including your lies, have been placed upon Christ and that 2,000 years ago he paid for them on the cross, and assuming that today he is your Savior and that he is seated at the right hand of God, living to make intercession for you, assuming that you are born again, assuming that you have listened to the message, and assuming that you as a child of God really want to be a truth teller, let me leave you with 4 or 5 points of application that perhaps could help you going forward. Number one is going to be the hardest. And that is, if you have lied to anyone, and that person is still living, and you remember lying to them. And of course, you have confessed this to God, but if not, you must do that. Then what you must also do is you must go to that person, and you must acknowledge your sin, and you must seek their forgiveness, because you have sinned against them. In other words, correct your lies. Set the record straight. Friends, I don't want to exaggerate because that would be a form of lying, but I have had to do this many times in my life. The reason I do this is because of my natural propensity toward speaking lies. Sometimes without even thinking about it, the lie just comes out. I mean, it's not even premeditated. It just exits my lips. You don't have enough time. And I'm too prideful of a person to tell you of every time this has happened. But I'll just give you one example. I'm a young minister. My job is to order the Sunday school material in our church. One of the elders calls me and he says, would you order these Sunday school books? And I said, okay, I will do that. And of course, I forgot to do that. And when I saw him on Sunday, he said, did you order the Sunday school books? And immediately, as we're passing one another in the hallway, I said to myself, well, no, I didn't do it, but I will do it tomorrow. And if I do it tomorrow, they will get here by next Sunday. So what's the difference? Yes, in spirit, I ordered the books. I said, yes, I ordered the books. We went into the worship service, and again, I'm sitting there singing the hymns of the faith, and I'm thinking, this is a joke, really. I'm bringing praise to God, and I just told a lie out there in the hallway of the church. And I had to go up to this elder immediately following the service and say, Jim, you you asked me a point-blank question. I'm telling you I lied to you. The books are not yet ordered. I promise you I will order them tomorrow morning. But the larger fact that is at play here is that I did not tell you the truth. It is never okay to lie. But if you do, the key is that you go back and you correct it. Psalm 51:6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. And as I said earlier, the most valuable tool that you possess is a soft and a sensitive conscience. Lying without correcting it will harden your heart and your conscience, and it will breed more lies. And so, and here's what's going on right now. Not with all of you. I know that. But I know that there are some of you that are listening to this sermon, and number one, there are like two voices that are talking to you. One of them is mine, and it's telling you that you should go and correct those lies. But you know that there's also another voice that is speaking to you from within your heart, and you are saying to yourself a number of things. First of all, you don't have to correct this because nobody got hurt. This was a long time ago, and it's really just going to stir things up. Really, what difference is it going to make? And if you just promise never to do it again, it's okay. You don't have to go back and correct this. Well, there's all kinds of lies that you're telling yourself right now as to why you do not need to go back and correct the lie. The fact that that conversation is even taking place at all ought to be an indicator to you that what you ought to do is to walk in the light. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's going to cost you to tell the truth. If you feel so inclined to go to your wife and say, I just need you to know, now, when you're asleep at night and you think I'm downstairs working on the books for, you know, my job, but actually what I'm doing is I'm looking at naked people having sex, you need to know that is going to cost you. It's going to cost you more, however, to keep a lid on it. Telling the truth will cost you. Lying will cost you more. And so, if there's anyone that you have lied to, come forward with the truth. Number two, when you lie in the future, and you will, and I am not giving you a license to do so, any more than John gives his audience a license to do so when he says, little children, I write these things to you that you do not sin. His intent is that they do not sin. That's why he writes it to them. But then the next verse says, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So I'm saying to you, don't lie. Don't lie. But if you do, don't plan on doing it. But if you do, here's the key. And I've learned this the hard way. Correct yourself quickly. Correct yourself immediately. Interrupt people rudely and say, excuse me. We can get back to the discussion here in just a minute, but I just have to say something right now. I have learned this, that if I do not move to the prompting of the Spirit when it comes, when he comes, that the longer I wait, the harder it will be. And so when a lie comes out of your mouth, you just need to get the attention of everybody in the room and say, excuse me, a few minutes ago, you just asked me if I'd ever seen that movie. Truth of the matter is, I shouldn't have ever seen that movie because I know what's in that movie, but I saw it. And I said that I didn't. And the reason that I said I didn't is because I'm self-righteous and because I'm prideful. And I'm sorry that I saw it, but the truth of the matter is that I did. When you lie in the future, and you will, correct it quickly. And if you say, well, I'm going to wait for a more opportune time, there is no more opportune time than immediately. If you ask the Holy Spirit to hold you accountable for future lies, when you lie quickly, correct it quickly, You keep short accounts before God. Number three, be slow to speak. James 1:19, be slow to speak. Why? The reason why is because lies come out so quickly. Sometimes, as I said, they literally pop out of our mouths before we even think about them. And so when an inconvenient truth is brought to you, there is nothing wrong with you being silent and saying, give me a second. I want to make sure I speak accurately here. And then tell the truth. But when you speak quickly, you usually speak to your own harm. Number four, speak the truth in love. Sometimes the truth is going to hurt others, and sometimes we tell lies genuinely because we don't want to hurt others, but usually we tell lies because we want others to think well of us. But be that as it may, we are told to speak the truth in love. And finally, number five, read the Bible all the time. Read the Bible all the time. Why? Because it combats lies in this way. Remember, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You are always lying to you. And when you watch a movie, the message that will be brought to you is a lie. And as you are around your coworkers, they perhaps are perpetually lying, and you are around the influences of the devil, who's a liar from the beginning. And so we are getting lies coming at us left and right, from within and from without. How are we to combat that? We combat that by getting a constant intake of the truth. Read the Bible all the time, because every time you're reading the Bible, you are reading the word of truth. It's the only thing that we have to transform our minds. Fill your mind with truth and then speak the truth. John 8:32, you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. Read the Bible all the time. So now back to our opening question. Do you believe lying is acceptable for you? Well, in theory, I know that you do not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this retreat. But if in practice you believe that lying is acceptable to you, I want to warn you that you will be damned. You will be eternally damned, and you need to be saved. If you believe that telling the truth is the way to go, as you tell the truth, I want to give you some encouragement. And that is, never once when I have ever corrected one of my lies in front of someone. And sadly, why do I know so much about this topic? I've done so much stinking research on it. I just kind of know for 59 years what it means to walk around in the body of a liar. Never once when I have ever gone to another person and said, I did see that movie. I lied to you about that. Have I ever had anyone ever be appalled? No one has ever been shocked. No one has ever said, what? You lied? Are you kidding me? I cannot believe that you told me a lie. Why is it that no one has ever said that? Is it because they are just so loving and just so understanding and just so forgiving? No, it's because everybody can relate. Everybody understands. And so when you go to a brother, you fear going to that brother because you fear that that brother will think less of you. Well, guess what? The brother that you're going to talk to is just like you. He has a sinful heart just like you do. And if he is truly a brother, and if he does really love you, and you go to that person, they are going to be understanding. We are called to forgive one another. And if someone comes to you and they've told you that you have lied, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. You need to be forgiving toward that person considering yourself. The other word of encouragement I would give you is that when you are honest with the brethren, you are also being honest with God. It says in the word that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But when we are honest with the brethren, we are also being honest with the Lord. And that opens the pathway to prayer. And the last thing I would say, by way of encouragement, is do not leave discouraged. Because Jesus can both forgive you and Jesus can change you. I have known many people, and sadly I am one of them, that had a pattern of lying. And when I started to take this subject seriously and to make corrections and to ask for the prompting of the Holy Spirit and to move quickly upon those promptings, the Lord has graciously helped me in this area. Now, some of you may not be able to relate to much of what I said today. Some of you maybe can relate a lot to what I'm saying today. I just want to tell you today, please don't leave here discouraged that you are a liar who will never be healed. Jesus Christ not only forgives, but Jesus Christ heals, and he does so through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth working in our hearts. So please leave here encouraged today that there is a merciful Savior, but leave here today also knowing that there is a powerful Holy Spirit that can help you to speak the truth. Father in heaven, thank you again for this wonderful group of men. Lord, I'm very perplexed as to how attentive they are, and I thank you, dear God, that they listen so carefully to your word. Lord, I pray right now for the man in our midst who is wrestling right now, for the man in our midst who is struggling. Lord, I pray that you would give this man the desire to tell the truth and enable him, Lord, to do that. Lord, not only correcting lies in the past, but also, Lord, I would pray in Jesus' name that looking to the future, Lord, that we would be men and that this would be a church that is characterized by the truth. And so help them, Lord, as they go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.